Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
And we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Welcome to it, the Friday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. And a Merry Christmas, happy holiday wishes to our friends here at ESPN 1480. News Talk 900 Columbus, and of course, our friends out west, ESPN 1460, 1550, Cardi Hastings, Grand Island, the Superstation, and further out west, ESPN 1410 in North Platte. So, hope you spend time with family, friends, loved ones, and enjoy this weekend. We are busy today. Some NFL to talk, some Nebraska football, and Big Ten to get into, and we're loaded up. As you'd expect. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, will be with us in 15 minutes. Mike Leach relives the truth about Santa Claus. An oldie but a goodie from Coach Leach. Not that old, about a year ago, to the date, quite honestly. Ralph Brown, Husker All-American and Husker Hall of Famer, All-Century Team, will be with us in Hour 2. He has a long and vast history against the Tennessee Vols, 2-0. Against Tennessee in bowl games, and a thought or two on Nate Gary. So Ralph Brown with his next hour. Erin Sorensen of Hail Varsity. She'll talk some recruiting and Nebraska bowl prep as they get ready to leave. The rumor is her and Carrie Underwood are going to spend time together with the rest of the Hail Varsity staff out west in Nashville. So we'll talk to Erin about that. Some NFL playoff bubble talk. And it is Festivus for the rest of us.
You bet.
So, have you ever been able to say, yeah, have you ever had an employer write you a charity check for 20G? Have you pulled that little miracle off yet, TJ?
I have not.
No?
No.
That's so bad, it's good.
That is.
So, hopefully, your agenda includes Die Hard, Festivus episode from Seinfeld, and Christmas Vacation this weekend. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Your chance before we say goodbye to qualify and win a six-month HailVarsity.com premium online subscription. So a lot to get into. Let's start this off, though, and it was brought to my attention by a listener named Jim. And he said, hey, love the show. I listen every day. This would be a good topic for you. I'm like, okay, Jim, fire away, partner. What's the best sports-related holiday gift you ever got? We put it on the Hail Varsity Premium message board. I threw that idea out there. Also, some holiday traditions for you. That's a fun topic. But anything come to mind, TJ? Holiday gift?
This might not surprise many people, but...
Grandpa got you a Nebraska zip-up.
I had those aplenty, that's for sure, but a Garnett jersey, a Garnett fat head.
Oh, how long ago? Like, last Christmas you had a Garnett fat
head? I mean, it's multiple Christmases that I've got Garnett.
So you say screw wallpaper and paint. Anywhere you live, you just put up the Garnett fathead.
Mm-hmm. Yep, posters. One year I got a Dan Marino jersey when I was a kid. That was pretty sweet.
Okay, so you're a Marino guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were born... Actually, you were alive.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see much of him when he was live, but... Yeah.
You saw the Achilles tendon injury years, didn't you?
Yeah. A little bit.
I still cry about that. Now, so you have how many Garnett fatheads?
Just one, but okay. I have just like a ton of Garnett memorabilia. So.
Okay, that's good, mm-hmm. And you're going down the right place when it comes to holiday sports gifts. I'll never forget. I don't know how long we've had it. Maybe a year, Might be two. 2 years. It took us a year to get it up. But Carson got a Durant fathead.
Mm.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And that's still in his room, still on his wall. But Aaron and I finally, once we painted his room, once we had someone paint his room, put it up. And we tried to do that together. About killed each other.
That
because,
big, huh?
Well, not just that, but you got his shoe stuck on his forehead, and you know how sticky fatheads are.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't good. Best holiday sports gift I ever got, it's a tie.
Okay.
1995, Papa Bear took us to the Fiesta Bowl. Okay. So
pretty good.
All four of us went to the Fiesta Bowl, and Florida got smoked, and the old ball coach was seen throwing his visor, and it was awesome. It was all happiness. It was warm weather, and you were in Phoenix/Scottsdale for about a week, and Nebraska rolled. Awesome ball game. Christian Peter tossed some dude in the swimming pool. Now, Dolman was there, too. I didn't know him then, and he wouldn't claim me there. So that was one. And then every year, Grandma Schmidt, God rest her soul, would have us pick out something from the Sears catalog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, Sears had autographed memorabilia. Could get a football, could do baseball. So over the years, I've accumulated a pretty sweet baseball collection. But the one that sticks out, and I don't know where the certificates of authenticity, now it's like here's DNA and saliva along with the baseball to prove it. Back then, it was just a certificate of authenticity. But I got I said, you know what? This dude's supposed to be pretty good. Back in 1989, Ken Griffey Jr. So I got a Griffey Jr. signed ball, and she also got me a Willie Mays one. So I have both of those.
Wow.
Right.
Those are two big names.
They're sweet. Carson wants to play catch. I mean, it's not Sandlot.
Yeah, yeah, it's not Sandlot.
It's not Sandlot. So those are my two ties.
Those are pretty good.
I mean, one's best two center fielders you could argue ever, and then the trip with Mom and Dad and my brother to Arizona, almost 22 years ago.
I think my favorite Christmas gift of all time, though, and it wasn't mine. It was my brother getting a Nintendo 64. Because then I was able to play GoldenEye, Zelda, NFL Blitz, and I was able to have it after he was done with it. Oh,
I remember the day we got our Nintendo, like the original one. Oh yeah, I remember waking up and the guy in the red coat and the fat guy in the red coat. Whoa, we got a Nintendo, and I still can't beat Mike Tyson.
No, that was a great game.
It was. So there you go. When it comes to holiday grievances, that's the other side of this. And apparently ESPN has some issue with the Big Ten. Can you say fraud? Wow.
Strong words.
They're pulling out the big guns already. Now, secretly, I fear this. It's kind of been a topic we've talked to some different experts about, the Big Ten and what they got to do this bowl season. Okay, I'm going to say this. In defense of the Big Ten, preempting anything bad that may happen next week, the Big Ten was very aggressive with their scheduling. And it worked out in the Big Ten's favor in a couple instances. It worked out against the Big Ten. And I'm talking the non-conference. Oklahoma's been pretty good all year. Colorado came on strong. That's a bonus for the Big Ten. Oregon, awful. Nebraska won. It was a tight ball game. At least Nebraska's win over Oregon was when Oregon wasn't garbage. They were still ranked. They were unbeaten. And you know what happened since? The 3- or 4-win football team. So the Big Ten is being questioned. Pitt beat Clemson. Not an awful 3-point rivalry loss for Penn State in the non-conference. Big Ten's being asked and questioned about the bowl season could expose the Big Ten as a fraud. Is that something that gets on your radar? The bowl outcomes, for the longest time, that's what you would use to bury the Big Ten when you weren't in the Big Ten. Yeah, look how they did against the bowl games. They'd always lose to SEC teams. They still may lose to SEC teams. But I think right now you've got a changing narrative and mindset about bowl games. Obviously, the playoff system's important. Your New Year's Day 6 bowls are important. But your narrative towards anything beyond the New Year's Day 6 depends on the analyst you ask, depends on the sports fan you ask. Yes, you want to win, but if it's not New Year's Day or playoff, not that important. Do they want to be there? Were their hopes crushed in the championship, conference championship game? You have all this different narrative and atmospheric spin going on. So I think what you do in the non-conference may have surpassed what you do in the non-New Year's Day 6 in college football. And how strong is your conference? Well, people that played Wisconsin and lost to Wisconsin, or even if you beat Wisconsin, you got a ton of credit for that because of what they did to start off the year against LSU. Now you don't have Lenny. They're playing Louisville. LSU is a 3-loss team, could be a 4-loss team. We'll see. But you still get cred for beating LSU to open up the year. That's an example of how things have shifted and changed a bit. If Nebraska loses to Tennessee, well, Nebraska is without their 3 best players. 2 on offense, 1 on defense, backup quarterback, and you're on the road at Tennessee. As long as Nebraska keeps this thing close a week from today, they will not get crucified for it. They get stomped like Northwestern did a year ago. Yes, there'll be some griping locally, and it'll feed this question that's being asked about the Big Ten being in front. Listen, I don't think there's a lot of faith nationally in Nebraska anyway. People don't seem to think, yeah, 9 wins, nice season. They've been through a lot this year, but not an elite team because you really didn't beat anybody.
And the games you did watch were likely, from the national perspective, were Wisconsin and Ohio State.
So hopefully you're 50-50. Yeah. Bad night in Columbus. The Iowa thing is kind of is what tips the scale.
Mm-hmm.
But the Big Ten, do they need to go above 500, in your opinion? If they don't, does that ruin or change the mind of you as a football fan with how they performed this year? Listen, I think Michigan is as tough as nails, and they find ways to win. I don't think their quarterback's awesome, but I think their offense and defensive line are incredible. You know that, and they got Peppers. It's a game changer. I'm a little less likely to buy Ohio State just because I think Barrett's – I don't know how competent he is throwing the football, honestly. I think if they stick to the run game, they stick to Samuel touching the ball 30 times a game, they'll beat anybody. It's just what do they want to do game plan-wise. Defensively, you're not going to throw on them and you're not going to run on them. I think they're for real defensively. Penn State, bro, they can get after your quarterback because their D-line's really good, and they are explosive as all get out. Run game, passing game, mobile quarterback that can move around in the pocket with McSorley. I mean, Penn State's good. And it'll be a shootout. I don't expect them to go beat USC, but they won't get killed by USC. So I'm not down on the Big Ten. And they are underdogged, yes. Michigan's your only favorite. Wisconsin's your only favorite. Otherwise, the rest of the squads are all underdogged. And that kind of shows to this fraud thing. If they're underdogged, then how can they be a fraud? Kind of working against itself right now, but how interested are you in the Big Ten's outcome in the bowl matchups? I can kind of take it or leave it. I'm anxious to see who claims the title of hottest team in 2016 between SC and Penn State. I'm anxious to see Michigan deal with disappointment, proving that they are a top 4 squad, and taking it out on a really good Florida State team that is beatable, okay? And I think Ohio State could absolutely beat Clemson. They may beat Clemson, but if Ohio State and Alabama dance, Alabama will unload on them. Clemson's the only team that can maybe knock off Alabama. But Clemson will have problems with Ohio State.
So it seems like the best way to figure out who the best conference is for the non-conference in these bowl games. But hasn't it been interesting this week with the talk of McCaffrey and those guys and a lot of college experts and NFL experts calling these games exhibition? Yeah, we're going to include those in to see if those
There's a drop off. People, it has shifted. What have you done in the non-conference? What's your strength of schedule? What's the pecking order like? I mean, look at Wisconsin too. Look at the games they've stacked and won or played well in. It kind of goes to their credibility. Mm-hmm. I think the word fraud is a stretch. I think their quarterback play is, it's fair to be questioned. I think Thorson's pretty good. I think Barrett with his legs is pretty good. I think McSorley's pretty decent. I said, yeah, McSorley. I mean, Trace is playing at a high, high, high level.
Yeah.
So I don't think fraud can be applied. I do really worry about Nebraska's offense against Tennessee. It won't look good if Tennessee's given up 30 points a pop half the year. And Nebraska cannot even get to 20. We shall see. Wilderness Ridge Golf, heated indoor hitting bays. And maybe the right answer for you if you're still searching or thinking about a holiday gift for yourself or that golf fan in your life. Check out Wilderness Ridge about their membership benefits. Membership pricing, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Bill Dolman up next on Hail Varsity.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down the 2016 season here on Hail Varsity. We'll be back, well, the 31st of December on the weekend edition. All next week, Bowl Week. Welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter, NBC Sports. Billy D, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, how are you?
I'm great. Merry Christmas to one and all. It's good to be with you, as I'm reminded by my daughters on the eve of Christmas Eve.
It is good.
As they count down the hours.
What'd we get, a pony this year? I mean, what'd we fire up for them? Can they hear you?
Oh, no, I've gotten them both, you know, given what I do and how much they enjoy what I do in my career, I got them the technical rule books for alpine skiing and ski jumping so that they can really further enhance their enjoyment of watching their father do winter Olympic sports for NBC.
That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. You're a big Seinfeld guy. Any holiday grievances today?
Yeah, but there's not enough snow on the ground out here in Colorado. I mean, you might as well live in Houston. If I'm not going to have a snow in Colorado for Christmas, why not just go south?
That's a good.
That bums me out a little bit. We had a lot of snow like last week or something.
Yeah, I know you did.
And now it's gone.
Yeah.
That bums me out.
Well, Nebraska.
I was dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, Nebraska fans bummed out about Nate Geary. And he will not be participating in the Music City Bowl. Bill, break this down here. How are you feeling? What's your gut tell you about no Nebraska football team next Friday? They won't have Tommy Armstrong. They won't have Nate Geary. They won't have Jordan Westerkamp. Handicap these chances of winning.
Well, I think they're good. I don't know why they wouldn't be. You're playing a road game. There's no question about that. And Tennessee's going to be motivated. But why go in thinking that you don't have a chance? I mean, it's not like the days of going down to play Miami when, you know, all we had was Johnny Mitchell as an athlete that could match up with him on the field. But, you know, I don't see any reason why if you don't have a little bit of pride that you don't go there to go win the game. And if they go out there and lay an egg, you know, then there's a lot deeper issue with the program than just losing a football game. You go out there unmotivated, you know, to in what, you know, for some guys will be the last time they ever play. You got a chance to win 10 games. You know, I think that there's a lot to play for, especially if you're trying to help, you know, Mike Riley continue to build this program. You know, and if not, again, then there's greater issues. So The Nate Gary thing, I think, is embarrassing. It should be embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for the university, who provides every opportunity for those guys to succeed academically, and even, you know, dare I say, just get by academically. But Nebraska has been at the forefront of so many things in college football from, you know, the 70s on, and, you know, academic success units and Dennis LeBlanc and Keith Zimmer and all those guys. You know, go back to, you know, nutrition and diet with Dave Ellis and the strength and conditioning program. And I don't see how you cannot succeed in every facet of your, you know, college career on or off the field. And to do what he did, what was it? He needed to pass 6 hours?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
6 hours with a D.
It's embarrassing. And, you know, to me, that's almost planned. You know, he got this far in his college career, and he had to have known at the beginning of the season that, what the hell are they going to do to me? You know, what would have happened, you know, if Nebraska somehow had a magical season and gotten into the playoff? If where they were when they were ranked 10th in the country, and I never thought that they were 10th best.
Sure.
But if Nebraska's ranked 10th in the country and somehow pulls off the win at Wisconsin, has a ton of momentum going into Ohio State, and shocks the world, and was in the conversation for the playoff, and is he looking back going, crap, I should have gone to bowling 101 when I had the chance. But it's like he had it planned out. Yeah, we're not going to be in the playoff. I'm probably going to get drafted. To me, it's really embarrassing, and it says a lot that he didn't think enough of his, you know, players and coaches and, you know, prospects for the postseason. That, you know what, I'm just going to slack off and major at Yaya's and, you know, see if I can get away with it.
Real quick, Bill, you've been a part of the university for a long time, and you know Mr. LeBlanc and Mr. Zimmer well, and just from your experience, people talk well about them, and we should, but you've seen it at work. Can you put into words here for a minute or so just exactly what they do and what they've done? Because you are firsthand to see it.
It's hard, you know. It's hard after all this time to put into words. You go back to when, you know, Nebraska was at the forefront of everything, and, you know, there was a reason why Nebraska has more academic All-Americans than anybody else. It's because they were pursuing, you know, I don't think it was to make the university look good. They were, you know, pursuing, you know, those athletes and making sure that they got their work done. You know, I firmly believe Nebraska was at the forefront of all that. And maybe it was trying stuff, and let's try this program. Let's try this program. You know, and if it worked, then it was a model for everybody else to follow. But the reason why Nebraska has so many academic All-Americans is because of what those guys did way back when. And it's unfortunate that some people don't take advantage of those opportunities when they have the chance. And I think that's clearly the case, you know, right now with the headlines. And it's just embarrassing. I mean, I know a lot of guys who, you know, got their degrees early or, you know, were on track to graduate, and all they may have had, you know, left were, you know, nutrition mini courses and, you know, geology mini courses and bowling. I mean, that's how I got it done at the end. But they had done the work to get to that point. And to not be able to get a couple of D's and 6 hours of classes in your last semester, to me, it just seems like it was all planned to begin with.
Yeah, I think I had bowling 101 and 102 my final semester as well. Bill, Nick Saban had some comments this week, kind of, in fact, too, regarding McCaffrey and Learnett and those guys, and saying that we kind of created this because of the 14 playoff, that all these other bowls kind of don't matter. Do you agree with him?
You know, I kind of do, actually. I still think that there's a place for all the extra bowl games that are out there. I don't think that they're meaningless for those who want to take advantage of those opportunities and to enjoy a week away with, you know, with their team. There's a lot of swag that they get. You know, but it's one last opportunity to play. And so I get what Nick Saban was saying. And there is a certain element that has been created that those things don't mean anything. But I think he was talking to it to the extreme in saying that they don't mean something. That's up to the schools, the coaches, the players themselves, you know, to make it meaningful. Because a bowl trip is meaningful. you know, it's a time for everybody, you know, in the athletic program or the football department to get together. I had wonderful times on the bowl trips of hanging out and going to practices and going to the functions and all of that. And for a player, you know, to not see that and to appreciate it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, and the thing with McCaffrey, I can see Fournette because he hasn't been 100% the whole year. The McCaffrey thing, he's worried about getting hurt. But look at Jordan Westerkamp. He got hurt working out, right? Might have been in practice or something. Not, you know, who's to say that McCaffrey doesn't go to an IMG Academy in Florida and step off the curb wrong? You know, I mean, you can get hurt in any facet of life and in any walk of life, in any way, and to say, well, I'm just not going to play. Why did he play against Rice? Why did he play the last couple of games of the year? Why doesn't everybody start checking out in game? You know, after Nebraska got smoked by Ohio State and the season doesn't look good, why didn't some other guys just say, you know what, I might get drafted, I'm out? And maybe some guys did check out after that. Maybe one guy, you know, didn't get his grades up after that. I don't know. I think it's a lot bigger than just the bowl games. I think it's just the mentality that, you know, if you can't win for it all, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's up to, you know, the players themselves and the coaches and the kind of people that they recruit. You know, if that's all they're in it for is you know, to win the gold ring and maybe be a top two pick, you know, first or second round pick, then maybe that's not the kind of guy you want. You know, you really got to look at who, you know, the guys who are doing the hat dance at these All-Star games in the next few weeks. Is that really what you want in your program? And we've already seen it the last couple of weeks, with two guys decommitting. Mm-hmm. Remember how jacked up people were that we had these 17-year-old kids who are taking these coaches for a ride. They got more dates than they can handle, and they commit to one, you know, gal, and then the prom queen comes along or the homecoming, and they want something else. The recruiting thing has gotten so far out of hand, and this is way into the weeds, you know, from your question, but it really goes into a deeper thing that some, you know, what kind of character, a player, are you recruiting to come into your program?
Bill Dolman with us, Hale Varsity Radio, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Billy D, about 90 seconds, best bowl swag you ever got?
The best that I ever got? Jeez. I don't know if it was swag. Yeah, it's not really swag, but I remember being on an Orange Bowl trip and getting to go deep sea fishing. That was fun.
What'd you catch, a marlin?
I didn't catch Jack. But nevertheless, it was fun to go out there and do that, you know. So yeah. Some of those little excursions you get to go on are kind of fun. And, you know, those are things that I remember more than I think anything that I got has probably been broken by now. You know, I got some jerseys with my name on it. That's kind of cool.
What about a watch? I mean, any, you know.
You know, back in my day, I didn't get I've got a couple watches. I think back in the day, we got some Walkman for my cassette cassettes.
Okay.
I might still have those.
Do you have a mixtape? Nice.
Only when the time is right.
Right. Beautiful, beautiful. Bill, we love you, man. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for a few minutes today, and have a great, great Christmas this weekend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. God blessings to all.
You take care.
And to all, a good night.
There we go. There goes Bill Goldman, the pride of Fairbury on Hale Varsity Radio. Gotta love Bill. Good catching up with him. Safe driving and demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, if you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Ralph Brown is coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Aaron Sorensen of HaleVarsity.com and Magazine to get you caught up on recruiting. How's the pursuit going for two offensive tackles for Nebraska? And some bubble talk when it comes to the NFL postseason. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. And on the way, our conversation with Mike Leach and the truth about the gentleman wearing red with reindeer. The old pirate talks childhood. Shock and awe. Hale Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, it's not quite the night before Christmas reading, but it's the truth about Santa from Mike Leach in a moment. Zipline Brewing. Go see Marcus and your friends tonight and this holiday season in Lincoln, or if you're heading into Lincoln, visit Zipline Brewing. Visit either one of their tap rooms, Westo, or their new beer hall, Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake. Modern German beer hall, 24 taps, amazing community tables and neighborhood bar. And Zipline's available for you across the state of Nebraska. Six packs are on draft at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And the tap room at 56th and Pine Lake, open Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6. So be sure to find your way to Zipline Brewing, gold medal winning Copper Alt, and the nationally recognized IPA. Here's Mike Leach and the truth about Santa. Enjoy. Now I got to ask you, with the holiday season, are you a fake tree or real tree guy?
Well, prefer real trees. Like most people have copped out and do fake trees. Yeah, it's been straight fake trees for the last couple of years. I like real trees better.
And did you eventually break the news to the young ones about Santa, or did you let them learn on your own, on their own?
My oldest daughter, it was a bit of a jolt, the Santa thing. And then after that, if I remember correctly, we had my oldest daughter convinced and, you know, wanted her to have that experience, believe in Santa, which I was mixed on that because I'm still a little pissed on the deception that took place with me and Santa and my parents years ago, you know. And my oldest daughter, if I recall correctly, she was into Santa and was inclined to believe in Santa. And my wife was more into pushing that than I was. And I imagine she's still mad, too. She's got a temper. And so she didn't like the fact that she'd been led down a dark path in the Santa thing. And then my next daughter, it's almost like she knew from the beginning that there wasn't Santa Claus. And it was sort of like... she says, well, of course it's not real. Everybody knows that. You know, she is one of those that saw through it right from the beginning. And then from there on, the other kids, it was just, I guess, osmosis from the older kids that, no, there wasn't Santa. So they had a lot better time of it than I did.
Well, tell me about your experience. What happened?
Well, I'm going along. And see, back then, Santa was more heavily reinforced, I think, than it is now. And back then, you know, Santa this, Santa that. And I've been picking away at the Santa story for years because I was always, you know, skeptical. And I mean skeptical to the point where, you know, as it got towards Christmas and Mom was kind of suspiciously ducking in and ducking out, well, I would go on search parties and search the house surreptitiously and find the presents and things stashed away. And I mean, even to the point, and this is not the type of child someone wants, but nevertheless, you know, I'd have it worked out what I wanted, and I'd even do stuff like when she was going to be gone for a while, and I was a master of it. I would unwrap the presents, you know, get a paring knife and just slip the tape, you know, where it was wrapped, and slip the box out, check it out, you know, play with it for half an hour, put it back in, tape it back up, and look surprised at Christmas. Well, then it got to be where, well, we got all these presents. Because, see, I knew that, all right, I'd seen some of these presents. But there was always something, you know, because she'd wrap it and they'd end up under the tree. But there would always be something on Christmas Day that wasn't part of the wrapped ones I discovered. And basically, they were generally somebody, like whether it was a younger brother or sister getting a tricycle or something, somebody was getting something big enough that it wasn't practical to wrap.
Ah.
Or something misshapen, so it wasn't practical to wrap. And so then what they would do is they'd, of course, set that under the tree, and so others aren't left out with unwrapped things under the tree in the morning. You know, so you'd wake up in the morning and boom, there's some extra stuff. And that would include like a tricycle or something big. And so nobody's left out. They would ensure that somebody that everybody got something under the tree the morning of. And so, well, so then it's like, you know, I start out with a line of questioning. Of course, and this went on for years. I start out with a line of questioning. Does Santa get us all of the presents? You know, no, Grandma and Grandpa get us some presents, you know. How about other things like this or like that? And then I'd say, well, how about the Daniel Boone gun that I got last year? Did Santa get me that, or did you get me that?
And, how do you communicate between the two?
Occasionally she'd get stuck, and she'd say, well, I don't remember, you know, sometimes, you know, but, you know, there's, and then it eventually worked its way towards, well, the stuff on Christmas, you know, that you... that's out there, you know, on Christmas morning. That's definitely Santa, you know. And so I was starting to close in, but, you know, the thing is, I was still a believer. And I was still a believer. And somewhere along the line, and there wasn't as, you know, then it was the type of thing on TV at three channels, which amazingly, several of the shows that I would watch are still on, Charlie Brown Christmas, the Rudolph... the red-nosed reindeer with that's like made out of puppets or whatever, and Burl Ives is a snowman in the thing. I mean, so remarkably, some of them still on. But anyway, as I start closing in, eventually, you could tell because the parents had that expression on their face. We need to have a talk about something, and so, and this is as my, and keep in mind the intense questioning had gone on for like 3 years.
They're tired
and
of
so,
it, huh?
And so then eventually it's like they got a goofy expression on their face, and it's leading into Christmas, as I recall correctly. It's like probably this time, you know, this time of year in relation to Christmas. We have to have a talk. Okay, now this stuff about Santa Claus. Well, it's like my parents had never lied to me. I mean, it was a loss of innocence. You know, you can't go home anymore, and it's not the same. I mean, it's all those things just as, and then I even started rattling through. Well, I asked about this, and I asked about this, and I asked about this. Bam, wham, right in the face, you know. I mean, there isn't a nice man up north with a bunch of friendly elves pulls all this stuff off. And I would have to say our family, my sister was like, oh, well, whatever. and then my brother was, well, he was younger, and he was just trying to stay out of harm's way from me and my sister. So, because she was, you know, she was a fairly, my sister was and still is a person that'll put her hands on you. And so you're really opening up the holidays on a positive note with your listeners. So Merry Christmas to everybody.
We'll warn them. Santa's got a sweatshop and it's breaking and entering. Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Busy next hour. Ralph Brown, Aaron Sorensen will join us. NFL playoff bubble. We'll talk about that. I hope there's no tears in the back seat with Mike Leach and the Christmas story. Still have not been viewed by TJ Henning. But you told me that your folks never watched it.
Yeah, so, you know.
So shut up, Schmidt.
No.
Leave me alone. So as I turn to my right, the studio across from us is our dear friends over at KFOR. They have a TV that's visible, mm-hmm. as in I can see it from more than 5 feet away. We do not.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a working TV, so I'm happy about that. But the debate is on Die Hard. Yay or nay, Christmas movie. And I know it's kind of a shoot 'em up, but there's a terroristic theme, and it's not awesome to think about during Christmas time and the holiday season. But the good guys win twice. I don't really count Die Hard 3 as part of the series. 1 and 2. Because let's be honest. That's what you're doing this week. Or this weekend. You're going to go see Rogue, whatever the hell it's called with Star Wars.
Rogue One. Yep.
Yeah, Rogue One. You're going to throw in holiday-themed movies, or you're going to watch bowl games. Or you're going to binge-watch something on Netflix or Amazon or whatever.
Or you're going to watch Warriors-Cavs Christmas Day.
We're going to be, or you can listen to it.
Yeah.
That'll be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be nice. And I'll watch that for sure. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be really good. So from a Nebraska standpoint, are you worried? Because Tennessee, let me tell you, there's a lot to play for. If you pull the seniors on Tennessee's team, they've been practicing so physical. Just get to the game in a week, please. I don't want to hear it from Tennessee. I trust nothing from Tennessee other than they should be awesome.
Yeah.
If they were a dark horse national title team and a team that was supposed to win the SEC East and a team that was supposed to beat Alabama or be able to hang with Bama from a skill standpoint per Lars Anderson yesterday, and they don't even get to the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma?
Well, that's what this game is. When this came out, I was like, oh, this is the two top teams, ESPN, who had the dark horse college football playoff.
This is the
Nebraska and Tennessee.
This is the who gives a damn bowl.
Yeah.
Really, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Either team. Can you squeeze one more drop of juice out of this, no pun intended, orange? And a guy who, well, handed it to Tennessee once in the Orange Bowl, once in the Fiesta Bowl, Ralph Brown, is about 5 minutes away. I don't know how far away you are from Sauter Heyman, but make time now if you're still in search of that amazing holiday gift for your significant other to go find Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Instant discounts, and they're giving away free trips with qualifying purchase, not just today, but through the 31st of December. When only the best will do for her, Sauter Heyman there for you. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Road West in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com, yourbestring.com. And the trips that you can win and get with qualifying purchase, the trips you get with qualifying purchase, Las Vegas or Cancun. 1-2-3 Cancun. Ralph Brown up next on Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big beat!
We get big beat!
Boom! Beat! Beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up. A Nebraska Football Hall of Famer and All-Century team at cornerback, Double Deuce, Ralph Brown at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. 10-year NFL vet joins us. Ralph, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. It's great to get caught up. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Well, we were talking off air. I can bring you pictures of ice or snow. I know you miss it out west when it's sunny and awesome out.
Yeah, you can send me some pictures. I'll take that. I'm good out here. But actually, it's been raining out here, so it's not the actual normal sunshine that you would expect in sunny California.
Well, I was watching the Holiday Bowl. Not Holiday Bowl, but the Poinsettia Bowl played where the Holiday Bowls play. What's up with rain in San Diego? That's kind of like finding a unicorn in your front yard, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually like Haley's Comet, man. When it comes around, we marvel at it when it comes. It's like, what is this, you know? But it's crazy right now. It's a different climate right now. It's been raining kind of consistently up here and down to San Diego as well. But we'll take it. We've been in a drought for a while, so It's interesting right now.
Well, Ralph, let's talk Nebraska football here. And Nebraska heads Sunday out to Music City Land to get ready for Tennessee. And a week from today, it's kickoff against the Vols. The bow is put on the 2016 season. As a guy who started since his freshman year, never redshirted, you know what it's like to play that final game. Nate Gary, a guy in the secondary, has had a great career at Nebraska, but it ends on a sour note. What are your thoughts with the news yesterday that Gary is ineligible?
Well, I think it's just disheartening and sad for everyone around, you know, himself, his family, basically his teammates. You look at the fan base, people who really like Nate Gary, wanted to see him one last time, and he's not going to be able to strap it on with his teammates and go out there and play, you know, in the Music City Bowl. And, you know, there's different reasons. We never know really why guys are academically ineligible. And a lot of times going out and trying to go into the NFL, sometimes their focus is more on playing football, less in the classroom. And sometimes it's just kind of a cerebral deal. They just basically didn't give full effort or didn't have that strength within them to basically give that full effort and pass their classes. But sadly, he's going to miss the game. His teammates are going to miss him, and fans are going to miss him as well.
Well, tell me about his impact. Obviously, I remember the Wisconsin game. I can go through his career and point to momentum-changing plays. I look at BYU, the opener a year ago, right? He made that interception. It kind of flipped things in the second half. Nate Gary has a history of game-changing plays for the better. Can Nebraska cope without him?
Well, that remains to be seen right now. He's one of those guys that you can't basically replace just because of his natural athletic ability and his feel for the game. Just like you said, he's been making plays throughout his career, especially this season and last season. He finally came within himself and is playing the safety position how it's supposed to be played. And if that's one of the reasons why he's going to be one of the top safeties coming out into the draft next season. But it's tough because of the plays that he makes, the interceptions, and he makes them at such an optimum time when his team needs him the most. And that's why the players, the fans, and I myself like Nate Gary, you know, at Nebraska.
Ralph Brown with us, Hale Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, what are your thoughts here for Nebraska 2016? And from a bowl game standpoint, how are you feeling about this game going in? As you know as well as I do, no Gary, no Westerkamp, likely no Armstrong.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. You know, the one thing I like is that Mike Riley and his staff, they prepare their team very well. You look at last year, no one truly expected the team to go out and really beat UCLA. They basically kind of slowly, progressively started to dominate UCLA by the end of the ball game. But without those players, Armstrong, you look at Gary, and, you know, you also have Westerkamp out. Those are big names. Those are critical guys that you depend on week in and week out to make those plays, not only on the field, but leaders throughout the course of a ball game. So it's going to be tough. Everybody's going to have to step up who's replacing those guys and make plays and give their all. Tennessee, the one good thing that Nebraska is going against a Tennessee team that has a few people missing as well. They haven't had the best of their season. You don't know about their motivation on the other sideline. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully Nebraska can pull it out.
Ralph, you've kind of looked at this Tennessee squad, and, I mean, folks are lining up and running for two bills against them. I mean, the last four games speak for themselves. They were in position the way they started the year to win the SEC East. They pretty much had it wrapped up after the first few weeks of the year when they beat Florida, when they beat Georgia. That's who you got to beat to win the SEC East, and they still fell apart at the end. Could Nebraska, behind the offensive line, and Terrell Newby, a West Coast dude like yourself, can they rely on this line one more time this year, and Newby, and Azigbo, to get it done next Friday?
Well, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to depend on their offensive line. That Tennessee defense has struggled mightily against teams. They've given up 400 yards, you know, on the ground twice this season. So Nebraska's going to have to take advantage of that. But if Tommy's not playing, that doesn't make the defense basically really stress about the dual threat quarterback on the back end, like Riker Pfeiffer, whomever they are going to have out there at quarterback. So, but they have to rely on their offensive line. Tennessee does not stop the run very well. They have to establish that run game and then get it out to your. They still have playmakers on the outside with Moore and Morgan. I think those guys can make plays, and Nebraska could possibly win the game, but they have to establish that line of scrimmage, get some protection on the quarterback, and wear them down on the inside.
Yeah, let's see if Seathan can go out with a huge game as well. Ralph Brown, a couple more minutes with us on Hale Varsity Radio. Ralph, when you think of the Tennessee Vols, do you smile? You had two bowl game experiences against Rocky Top, winning the national championship that 97 season, the 98 Orange Bowl against Peyton Manning, and then one final salute to Charlie McBride in the 2000 Fiesta Bowl, you and Mike Brown. What a tremendous ball game. What a tremendous job the secondary did that night down in the desert. Does Tennessee bring back smiles for you?
Yes, it does. And the one great thing about those two bowl games that I played in is that after the game and throughout the course of the game, both of those Tennessee teams did not know what they were up against, and we wore them down from basically kind of the first quarter they started to feel it until the fourth quarter. Both teams came out and played well, but we dominated those guys, and they knew it, and they said, wow, you guys – trained differently. You guys are way different than what our coach explained we're going to go up against. And that's a great feeling when the players on the opposing team share that with you after the game. And then even after you go into the NFL and retire, those guys share those same sentiments now, like, hey, you guys were dominant. You guys dominated us on the offense and defensive line, and you guys just played lights out.
Ralph, were you nervous going into that matchup against Peyton Manning?
No, I wasn't. It's interesting because, you know, it wasn't my freshman year. You know, I had been on championship teams all the way from the age of 10, and I've been groomed by a lot of good coaches and mentors. So I had gotten all the jitters out my freshman year, and then going up against Peyton Manning, I knew what we had. And going into the bowl game, all the guys on a team would say this: do not give Coach Osborne 3 weeks or 4 weeks to prepare for an opponent or we will crush them. So that just made me feel good. McBride felt the same way with our preparation, and that's the way we came into those games, that we knew that if you gave Osborne that much time to prepare for an opponent, we'd basically wear them out and expose them, and that's what we did most of the time with Coach Osborne.
There was a critical play in that championship game, the 98 Orange Bowl, on defense, and you made it. Jamal Lewis, 2,000-yard rusher for Baltimore. Early in the game, I think you guys are up 10-3 or something like that. Tennessee's driving. Ralph Brown jacks Jamal Lewis, forces a fumble. I think Rucker recovers it. Tennessee's never the same after that. You remember that play?
Yeah, I remember it vividly. I just remember Jamal Lewis. They threw a toss out to the outside, and I just knew I had to make sure I came off that block. And after I disengaged, I just kind of just threw my body in there to try to make the tackle. And basically toppled Jamal Lewis, and the ball came out. I didn't even know it came out until I turned around and everybody's, you know, cheering, and I get up and start running. It's like, wow, we made a tremendous play, turned an entire game around, and we just started rolling from there. But I'll never forget that play just because of the effort I made and creating the fumble on somebody who was so good as Jamal Lewis in the big back.
Let's go towards the 2000 Fiesta Bowl. T. Martin's quarterbacking, still a loaded Tennessee team. They're coming off a national championship the year prior to that. And your 99 team was incredible. That was Coach McBride's last ball game, and he has spoken to us about it. This was a couple weeks back. But you and Mike Brown, correct, went into his office and said you're not leaving after the 98 season. Did you guys kind of help him stick around one more year?
Yeah, we basically kind of nudged him, you know, kind of over that edge to say, hey, look, I'm going to stick around with these guys. And the one thing he knew was that our class, you know, with me and Mike Brown and Carlos Polk and some of those other guys and you know, Eric Johnson, and we had a tremendous class that had family involved. We had a lot of speed. We had a lot of talent. And Coach McBride knew if he stayed to the next season with as much talent that he had underneath his tutelage, that we would have a fun year. And we had a tremendous year that year on defense, sacks, and just creating fumbles and having a lot of fun. And Coach McBride had a tremendous time as well. So that game, if you ever watch that game against Tennessee, you want to watch a defense flying around, getting to the football, getting off blocks. I mean, up against a great opponent, that's a great game to watch. And every now and then I watch that game because it was fun to be on a defense like that with people so fast and committed to just making plays and getting stops on every down.
Because you had Steve Warren, you had Vanden Bosch. Was Wiltsy still there or was he gone by then? I don't remember. And you had Polk, and then you had yourself and Mike. And
we had Eric Johnson.
EJ.
Had,
and Ortiz.
Stahl.
Yeah.
Eric Orford was gone. Mike Brown. I think Keel Craver was on the other side. We just had a team that was dedicated to greatness, and we put our standards higher than what McBride gave us standards for in practice. And that's what made us so great that 99 year.
Ralph Brown with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, let's talk some NFL. And do you have a contender list? Do you have a short list here of NFL teams? I mean, who are you feeling right now out of the NFC? Still a couple of weeks left, obviously, in the regular season, but close enough to playoff time. Who's your favorite at this moment right now in the NFC to get out and head to the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm basically shuffling around my list now because it was initially the Giants, but the way they had been playing the last 3 weekends, I think 4 weeks actually, they had basically been playing good defense. They hadn't been scoring a lot of points, but good defense, and sometimes the Giants play well with their backs against the wall. We've seen that in the past, and that was my basically number one team rolling into actually after last week. And then when they laid an egg last night against the Eagles, I think that's what kind of dropped them back down. But that was my team right now. It's hard because I don't trust Matty Ice and the Falcons. They've laid eggs every year. They come out hard and fast and strong, and then they basically lose. So right now, I don't know who the sleeper is. I would have to lean on the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and all those guys on the outside. I think if they get flowing, they get a rhythm and confidence, I think it'll be tough to beat them.
Green Bay, man. I mean, Rodgers doing his thing. They kind of found a run game. You have Devontae on the outside, and they just look hot right now. Dallas is good, great. They're going to have home field, but they might be just a year away. I mean, they are still young. They're still dealing with two rookies. You know what team whacks me around with is Seattle. Are they the team that beat New England, or are they the team that scored 5 points at Tampa?
Yeah, you're right, because they don't really have an identity on offense, I don't think. Every week you say a different machine. It's not a system. It's just, hey, look, let's just see if we can make plays. Let Russell Wilson make plays with his leg and then find the open receiver, and we'll just feed off of that energy and excitement. I think that's what they've been doing. But with them missing Earl Thomas, I think that hurts them significantly. I saw some adjustments that weren't made after Earl Thomas's absence that I think might still hurt them going through the playoffs against some of these great offenses and these great quarterbacks.
Ralph, lastly, about 60 seconds here. New England, tremendous. Kansas, can Kansas City or Oakland derail New England?
I think if a team can do it, it's going to be Oakland. I think they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and the offensive lines travel. It's just like defense. Derek Carr can get protected. And I think that defense with Mac and those guys on that side of the ball, they've had a lot of wins where they've came out and come back at the end of these games, and they've stepped up in some of these tight contests. They're a young team, but they have a small mix of veterans in there with that leadership that everyone wants to win, and I like what they're doing right now. So if it's anybody, I have to go with the Raiders, just because they have that offensive line that can run the football, and their defense is playing very well.
You know, what's going to tip it, too, is instead of Oakland hosting New England down the road, potentially, it's going to be the other way around. New England's your one seed. Oakland, because they lost in Kansas City a week and a half ago, they fell. I mean, they fell seeding-wise all the way to 5. There's still some wiggle room to make up, but there's no way unless New England just absolutely gets sick all over themselves. There's no way Oakland can get home field back again. So that may be the difference. It's Ralph Brown, Hall of Fame Husker, 10-year NFL vet, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, awesome to catch up. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, buddy.
Good stuff from Ralph Brown. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Kind of the playoff scenario breakdown in about 20 minutes with myself and TJ Henning. Hope you have a great weekend with family planned. And Christmas, happy holidays to many of you from Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, and of course, Hail Varsity Radio. We'll talk recruiting with Aaron Sorensen. That's next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some? some fun!
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some recruiting and get caught up with Aaron Sorensen of Hail Varsity at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter, online editor, director of digital marketing. And, of course, there's maybe going to be some Chipotle gift certificates in her stocking this holiday season. Happy holidays, Aaron. How you doing?
Happy holidays. I'm good. And one can only hope I have a bunch of Chipotle gift certificates in my stocking. I'll take that.
No, I bet. So before we dive into recruiting and bowl practice, can you give me a percentage here on the likelihood of catching up with Carrie Underwood in Nashville? I mean, I know that was sent out on your Twitter today. I mean, what's...
Give me odds.
Brandon, give me odds.
Right. Well, Brandon Vogel kind of gave me a little heads up that where we're staying, so kind of the area that our hotel is in, is where a lot of the country music stars live. So I'm feeling there's like a 50-50 chance I bump into her as long as she's in town.
Well, she...
So I'm feeling good about my odds.
Well, she's a... I'm sure she reads Hail Varsity, so yeah.
I'm sure. So she'll know we're coming.
Yeah, and she just... someone get her a red Nebraska hat instead of that Rocky Top horns. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Well, how's it been? Let's start off with just the news yesterday, your reaction. You've been at practice. You and Jacob have been at practice covering Nebraska leading up to their departure, of course. But, you know, how do you kind of put a... arms around the Nate Gary situation from your perspective moving forward? What's your reaction to the news yesterday?
Well, it's definitely disappointing. I think what Riley said about it, how they just... it's obviously disappointing for a lot of reasons. It's disappointing because he's a captain, and you expect more out of your captains, especially when it comes to something like their schoolwork. Because when you think of a student athlete, sometimes we get so caught up in the athlete part that we forget about the student part of it. And that's so important. For whatever reason, that apparently had gotten away from Gary this fall semester. And maybe that's something that he had struggled with previously. We don't actually know kind of what that looks like for him before now. And so obviously there was something that he ran up against, whether that was senioritis or if this was something he struggled with previously, but was able to, you know, get the help in making sure he was in class or getting his homework done or whatever the case really was surrounding this. It's just disappointing. It's not... when you are a senior who is a captain of a team, this is not how you expect to go out. So the general vibe that you just get is disappointment. And then for myself, I kind of started to notice something was a little off when he wasn't made available to talk to the media on Tuesday, because he and Josh Banderas, there are certain people that are always willing to speak to the media, and he wasn't available on Tuesday, so that spoke volumes in the sense of something must have not been right. But it's very telling that it's actually kind of bizarre, because this week the people that you usually hear from all season long, which that was Nathan Gary, Tommy Armstrong, Jordan Westerkamp, they all aren't available for different reasons to talk to the media. And that's kind of just, for each of them individually, disappointing. But in Gary's case, it was something he very much could have handled. So he could have been playing in this game. He made the decisions. It is definitely on his shoulders. So hopefully this is a lesson learned from him, and he can go on and take this and hopefully be a better... if he really is truly the leader and the captain that people think he is, hopefully this will ultimately be a good example that he can now set for others who may potentially fall into these same kind of unfortunate situations.
Aaron Sorensen, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Who's stepping up to fill leadership right now as the bowl practices are going on, as they leave for Nashville on Sunday? Tommy's been out. Westy's out. Nate's out. Who's stepping in?
No, man, it feels like, let's just keep going. No, I know. And I think the one thing that the vibe I got, so I had a chance last week to talk to Brandon Riley just for a few minutes one-on-one, and he talked, and you don't just hear this from him, you hear this from other players on the team, that Riker Fife is actually a really good leader and that he does a really nice job leading, especially the offense. And I think sometimes because as media and fans and people outside of those, you know, four walls and they're at practice, we don't actively get to see that much, especially since Tommy Armstrong was the guy for so long. So when you hear the team really rallying around Riker and saying, you know, no, he is this great leader for us and he does take control, I think I think that is something where we may not see it, but it's good to know that the person who's going to be under center potentially, you know, they haven't completely ruled out Tommy. But if it sounds like it's going to be Riker, if it's him, it sounds like he has the respect and he is leading that offense. But you've got guys like Kevin Maurice, who is definitely a leader. You're going to start seeing some of those younger guys, like you have guys like Nick Gates and Gerald Foster, who are going to be stepping into leadership roles, and this is a good opportunity. So I think you're going to see some of those, you know, name the senior class names that maybe you don't hear of all the time that are going to really fill those roles. But then beyond that, you're going to get an opportunity to see the younger players who are going to be your future leaders kind of take this opportunity to step up in the Music City Bowl.
Gates seems like him and Foster want that responsibility.
They do.
They're young. They're both sophomores. So dicey, isn't it? You don't want to step on the older guy's toes. But, I mean, Gates was quoted end of last week, early part of this week of, you know, we're not going to be everyone's best friend, to kind of paraphrase.
Right.
He wants that. He wants that that opportunity to kind of be the sheriff, doesn't he? I mean, that's good news moving forward.
I think the one thing I really liked about this senior class this year is they don't seem to get very offended if people step into roles and lead, and even in some cases lead them. And that's what you want from your leaders on a team. So if you want your senior class to always kind of be that fundamental rock for the team overall, but you also want them to be okay if, say, a sophomore or a junior steps into a role and steps up as a leader, because that's what you want. You do not want it always just to be, it's kind of like the whole idea of when you think about the quarterback, people's biggest complaint with Nebraska quarterbacks is that you don't have, you know, that like you have the starter and then a walk-on and then a guy who, like, you want that solid backup option.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like that's almost as leadership. You need to have those, that you know, your solid first starters of the leadership team, and then the guys who can step up really quickly, they're your backups. And I think in the case of Nick Gates and Gerald Foster, I think they're kind of viewing it like that, is, hey, we need to step up into this role because there are opportunities now for us too. And I don't think you're seeing any kind of dynamic where any of the older guys are upset about that.
Let's hit on some recruiting. Aaron Sorensen with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Aaron's been just tremendous following Nebraska recruiting in Foster Sorrell, Chuck Filiaga, two top 100 recruits, amazing prospects at the tackle spot. You have Filiaga coming in the top 100. You have Foster top three if you look at different recruiting rankings. And what's your feeling right now? How do you think this is going for Nebraska? I mean, on social media, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, tweeted at Foster Sorrell earlier this week. Filiaga on Twitter putting out Nebraska, one of his three finalists with Michigan and Oklahoma. Cav has been working on these guys for not just this year, but a while, going back mm-hmm. years. So he's aware of both. They're aware of him. It sounds like it's pretty good for Nebraska. Is that true?
Yeah, if you had to pick between the two, like if I had to say I felt more strong about one than the other that they may commit, I would definitely say Foster Sorrell to myself is mm-hmm. the one where if I was going to be betting on it, I would probably say he's more likely to commit to Nebraska. The reason I say that is just from talking to folks around the program who kind of have an idea of what's going on, it sounds like he's feeling very good on his end, and Nebraska is also feeling good on their end. Now, he's keeping it very, you know, tight to the vest. Him and his family are not being very, they're not giving anything away. And mm-hmm. that's not a bad thing at all. I think sometimes that worries people if you don't know what they're doing. But the general vibe I've been getting from folks about Foster Sorrell is that Nebraska's got a good shot at getting a commitment from him. Now, I don't think if both of them end up committing, nobody's going to be upset by any means. I just, like I said, that if I was going to put my money on it, not that you should be betting on recruiting, but if you were, I would say Foster Sorrell is where I'd bank on that a little bit more.
I mean, there's betting on preseason NFL football, there's betting on Little
right.
League baseball, and there's betting on recruiting, right? I mean, that's kind of the hierarchy of when it's time to call, bets off.
Yeah, no, and it's funny that I say that because I'm not even somebody that likes even, I don't even go to like, anytime I go, if I've ever been in a casino and someone's like, oh, just, you know, play for a little bit, like, I hate that because it's like, here's $10 I would have just had that I'm now giving away. So I'm really not a betting woman. So when I say that, it's funny because I really genuinely mean it. If I'm betting, which I really never do. But like I said, I think Filiaga is, you know, his list is pretty impressive. He narrowed it down to Oklahoma, Nebraska, Michigan. That's a great group. If he ends up picking Nebraska, I think that's got to say something for Nebraska to have them kind of rise above that group with, you know, you've got Bob Stoops and then Michigan, when you've got just these two power coaches. Mm-hmm. And if Nebraska rises above that, I think that says a lot, especially, like I said, to beat out Harbaugh and Stoops. So I like Nebraska's chances with both of these guys, but I would keep an eye on Sorrell, especially mm-hmm. as they get ready to commit.
Aaron, about 30 seconds left. How Coach Kavanaugh has some young pups that have redshirted this year. Looking to 2017, how good do you think Nebraska feels about those redshirters being able to step in and contribute along with some of the returners? How good could this line be?
Oh, he's so excited. We got a chance to talk to him last week, and I think he talked for about 12 minutes, honestly, on this whole topic. And he is very excited, one, about the return, like the returning upperclassmen that are going to really compete for those roles, but he also really likes that you've got guys like Matt Farniak that are going to really fight for these positions. And even the recruits that could potentially be coming in this year that could potentially be fighting for those roles. So you can just tell Cav is really excited about this line. It should be, you know, pending no injuries, his strongest group yet. And with a new quarterback, whether that be Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien, you've got to be really excited about that, especially with what they could potentially do on the offense. So I can say from having sat there and listened to him, Coach Kavanaugh is very excited about what he has coming up. And he was actually saying he's taking bets now. So speaking of betting, he's taking bets now on who starts the first fight in the spring practices, because he's got some ideas, and he wouldn't say who, but he has some ideas of who's going to be the first ones to kind of get that group fired up. So he's pretty excited about what he has to restore that pipeline.
Aaron Sorensen, Hail Varsity. Aaron, best to you. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, you bet. Happy holidays.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, thanks to Aaron Sorensen. Well, plenty of NFL this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. And you have some bubble teams in the postseason. What I want to see, or would prefer to see, versus what'll actually happen. I would love to see all three from the AFC West get in. That isn't going to happen. I would love to see Green Bay get hot. It's too bad Minnesota can't make a push. They started out well, will finish poorly, or finish maybe with a decent enough mark, but bottom line is Detroit and Green Bay are going to have the tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
And two teams that I just can't get behind, one, Oakland, two, Seattle. That's weird to say, because I know Oakland's been really good on the road,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of bums me out trust-wise with them at home. They've lost at home. Two, Seattle. What Seattle am I going to get? Am I getting an awful offensive line Seattle, or am I getting a competent Seattle that looks dialed in, their skill guys are dangerous, and their defense has been really good? And then the third question mark is Dallas, as young as they are. Do they get caught up in the moment, in the postseason? Because, you know, the Giants, man. Giants have whacked them twice. Giants just lost to Philly. That was awful. So let's talk playoff percentages here. Tennessee, man, they're 8-6. They have a soft schedule. They finish with the Texans. They finish with Jacksonville. They have split with both. So my guess is as good as yours. But Tennessee's shown some major pelotas with wins against Denver, with wins against Kansas City. I mean, that the way that Tennessee's closing out's extremely impressive. And the way they got out of Arrowhead last weekend. You're going minus two, three total turnovers. You miss the two-point conversion. You avoid the icing of your kicker. Then he bangs it home, gives the middle finger, figuratively, not literally, to a team that cut him. So I think Tennessee could stay hot. I like Mariota. They're just not special.
No, but they get the job done, and I think they're one of the final teams that gets in.
I think they do sneak in. I don't like the Texans. I think Savage is nice. Lamar Miller can run the football. Mm-hmm.
Got to see more from Savage.
But you have a team that's won just twice on the road with the Texans. The Fish. How you feeling about, can I say it, our Dolphins?
Not great with Matt Moore, even though he looked good against the Jets. But everybody's kind of looking good against the Jets. And it was just announced that Todd Bowles, the Jets head coach, is feeling ill, which many people do when you face the New England Patriots. So it doesn't sound like he'll be coaching this weekend. But
you got to give yourself a Christmas gift once in a while.
Yeah, take yourself out of that one. Yeah.
Oops, a nail gun just pierced my big toe. I don't know if that's what happened, but my point is anything to stop from watching?
Miami's
too hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they started 1-4. Are they going to expend too much? Even if they do get in, is it one and done?
It feels like it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ajayi. I like what Landry's done. Sue's playing
Obviously
ball
Sue
again.
Sue and Wake are
they're good.
Tough to handle.
I like it. But I think they're too injured to do any damage.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore. Great run defense. They have the third best number when it comes to turnover takeaways. 26 takeaways this year. It's impressive. You know what's not impressive? The touchdown to interception ratio with Flacco on the road.
Yeah.
Five touchdowns, seven interceptions. So the way we're leaning here, we're maybe Miami. We're thinking, yes, Tennessee.
And I'm deciding here between Baltimore and Denver.
Give me...
I think I'm leaning Baltimore, even though you just mentioned Flacco's stats on the road and the next two games are on the road. But what are we getting from the Denver offense right now?
Simeon's averaging 300 yards a contest. You have the best defense, arguably, in the NFL when they're on. And I know New England will bitch about that. And I know that Kansas City's really, really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Oakland's been opportunistic. But you've got the best difference maker in football in Von Miller. You have a secondary that's played well in Denver. The biggest problem I have is Denver's offensive line. It's as bad as Seattle's for a good team.
And there were reports of the offense and defense getting into it after this last
loss. Well, if I'm Denver's defense too, I'm getting into it. And they need something. They found a way to run the football last year with Peyton to help him. Now you found gold with Simeon. I'm not calling him a Hall of Famer. I'm not calling him a Pro Bowler. I'm calling him way more than competent with throwing the football away, with making completions, he's not been a liability at all offensively. It's been the run game and the offensive line. You've found some gold with a quarterback, with a young quarterback. You have a defense that can carry you, has carried you. You want to know something about Denver's defense, how freaking good they are? Here are the quarterbacks Denver has played and beaten this year. Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers. They've split with Carr. They beat Breeze. They have lost to Brady.
It's pretty good.
That's insane. It's a great schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to end at 500, I'd take them. And I think they could put a run together. But I think the hottest team right now you need to fear, a little deja vu could be happening, is Green Bay.
Yeah.
Right?
They should beat the Vikings this week, and then it comes down to that week against Detroit, week 17.
I know Amir's awesome, but I don't want Detroit getting in. He isn't playing anyway, so he's going to be mad about that, but... And I mean, again, we lean towards the Fighting Searles's, but your Vikings are done.
Oh, yeah.
So you might as well enjoy the postseason with some teams that can challenge. And right now, Green Bay can make a run. Give me a good postseason. What's going to set up the best postseason for me to watch? And it's getting Denver in. It's getting Green Bay in. Got to see the Chiefs. Got to see Oakland. And I think New England, we talked with Ralph about this too, but I think New England, it doesn't matter. It does not matter who New England faces. I get Miami, ironically enough, has played New England pretty tough twice. Kansas City went to Foxborough last year and wasn't quite able to score enough. You know what Denver did last year. But I think New England, with their run game this year, is so good. It's such a difference maker. And they've had to be because you've been without Gronk most of the year.
That final team for the NFC I'd like to watch and who I've enjoyed watching this year is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Levante David defense. Levante's awesome. McCoy's good.
Evans is a monster.
I love Winston, but their run game's been so hit or miss. Mm-hmm. What makes him money is the play action. And, you know, I was watching that Tampa-Dallas game.
Yeah.
And they were right there. And I don't know what you said at home other than get me another beer, but I was thinking they got to get a turnover this series. What happens? Levante recovers the fumble, and Tampa can't do anything with it. Their defense has given them so many chances, but the run game's held them back. We'll wind down a Friday next on Hail Varsity.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time in about 5 minutes. We are gonzo till a week from tomorrow. It's bowl week next week. We're taking Monday off for the Christmas holiday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is bowl week here locally and many of our affiliates, ESPN affiliates, so you'll have bowl games. Pretty sure we got the Nebraska game rocking a week from today on ESPN Radio. High five that. Then Kranak and I back a week from tomorrow. And then Jay and I back probably the 3rd. TJ does not get to go home. We're going to feed him bread and water and we'll keep him here in studio. I kid! Okay, Christmas tradition. With the Henning household, what are you guys doing?
Well, it's ongoing right now. We do a family bowl pick'em with the Bowl Mania. Everybody
really?
Gets a sheet, fills it out, and the winner gets my dad's punt, pass, and kick trophy that he won in elementary. That is a pretty nice little trophy.
Okay.
It's been dominated by the women. I think they've won it the last 5 years. So, and I am 2-9 right now. Navy just tied it up. So if you want to go on a winning streak,
you're 2-9.
DM me at TJ_Henning. I will give you my picks, and you just choose the opposite.
See, we tried to do a confidence pool thing,
mm-hmm.
but the bunny owes her bookie so much money that we're not allowed. The Schmidts aren't allowed in 2016.
There you go.
Mama Bear just thinks because she's attractive, she can just stiff people. You got to pay the bookie. I'm kidding. Kidding. Now we are going to get together family wise. We don't do that. I think the Schmidt family tradition is screaming at the TV. It's like a lot of families.
Just at movies or at football?
At football.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm pretty excited. Get to spend time with Junior and Mama this weekend. My grandma and grandpa are in from Jeff Kinney territory out in western Nebraska and McCook. So they are awesome. I love seeing them. We'll spend some time with some family, with some friends. And, yeah, a little decompression time next week.
Mm-hmm.
But you can catch us on HailVarsity.com. Be chiming in on the premium message boards from time to time there. And if you know what, you can if you're traveling and we're not on, maybe you get caught up on some of the podcasts with Hail Varsity. And, TJ, you're awesome, brother. I do love you, and I appreciate everything you do. Sitting in, hanging out, rocking it, and all you do behind the scenes, too. So Merry Christmas to you and your family. Appreciate it. And
you got it.
Thanks to you for tuning in, putting up with me, putting up with Bird, and just being loyal and longtime listeners. We love you all, and I want to wish you Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. So that is what is happening with us next week. It's bowl week, so we will be off till the 31st for the Saturday edition, the recap, the response to the Music City Bowl. Keep it tuned to HailVarsity.com, obviously, and Brandon Vogel, Aaron Sorensen, Aaron Babcock will be there in Nashville for you, and Kitch caught up with all the bowl practices, Jacob Padilla with Husker Hoops, and of course Nebraska football, so, and Jake Jensen with Husker Recruiting. So we invite you to find out more with HailVarsity.com. For TJ Henning, I'm Chris Schmidt. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and thanks for your time. We'll talk to you in a week and a day on Hail Varsity. So long. Enjoy.